I like the little heading part here in my Bible. This isn't the Word of God. It was the little words that the publishers put in here. It just says, David complains of his fearful state. Complains. I guess much of our prayer is complaint, but I'm so glad the Lord hears us. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. This is the third in a series of betrayals with David. And so if you are having people problems, tonight's another good night for you. But as we get into this, I also want to look at this in terms of our spiritual battle. Not a battle against people. We know that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so there's another realm going on out there, and our ultimate enemy is Satan himself, and he's going to get his. But keep this in mind whenever you read through the Psalms and you're seeing the enemies, and certainly we remember all of the physical, the real battles that David went through, and they were real, but they are a picture of the battles that you and I go through in the spiritual realm. Very important that we understand that. David was a man of war, and David was a man who was on the run. So he had enemies chasing him, and he was also fighting battles at the same time. That is you and me. And in that, it gets hard, really hard. And so that's where we begin with David's prayer in Psalm 55. Let's pray. Father, thanks for bringing us here. We are always in need, but Lord, we want to thank you for the times where we are fully aware of our need for you. And Lord, for those who are maybe going through it in one way or another, may this be a comfort to them. May this be a time where we see you clearly, see you face to face, and know that you love us, know that you care for us, and know that you win. So help us to set our eyes on you. Fill us with your Spirit now and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And so his first thing, Lord, don't hide from me. Please hear me. Attend to me. There's always that feel. No, I shouldn't say always, but many times there's that feeling that God is not even around when you're crying out to him. And you're in the middle of your trouble, and there you are saying, oh God, you've got to hear me. Please hear me. The good news is that God does hear you. He hears every one of your prayers. Now, of course, there are instances where God does not hear our prayers. When we get to Psalm 66 and get to verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me. In other words, you're going to sin. You're just going to live in sin. You know it's sin. And there you are praying to God to fix some other problem. God does, hey, he reserves the right to, you know, go la, 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 when you pray. He reserves the right to do that. The amazing thing is, though, is that God does indeed hear our prayers. Again, for the most part, provided we're just, you know, we're not snubbing him and all that. But I think about all the way back to Ishmael, when Abraham and Sarah were having trouble having a baby, and so they decided to get things in their own hands, and they invited Hagar into the whole scene, and then Hagar gave birth to Abraham's son Ishmael, and Ishmael means the Lord hears, and you go through the whole story of that and the horrible treatment of Hagar after all of that, and how Ishmael was clearly told, you know, you're not a part of the promise, but I'm going to make a great nation of you because, and he's telling Hagar, really, I hear. The Lord hears. And so the problem, though, with Ishmael and with so many is that while God hears our prayers, while God heard Ishmael, Ishmael never heard God. And it's so important that you and I, in all of our begging the Lord to hear us, to stop for a moment and say, Lord, am I hearing you? Because I think if we would hear the Lord, that would alleviate so many of our problems, because many of our problems are self-inflicted. And so, and when I say hear the Lord, I'm not talking about a cosmic sense. You and I, we hear the Lord through the reading of the Word. And so, keep that in mind. But there are times when we are going through something, it has nothing to do with our something we did, or we are just in a big mess. And here, David is crying out to God, because of the voice of the enemy, the threats coming from the enemy, the oppression, that's the pressure they put on him, and they hate him, just as you and I have an enemy who hates us. I always like to say, you know, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Well, Satan hates you and he has a plan for your life too. And so while we walk in this world, this enemy sometimes, notice verse 3, the voice of the enemy. Man, he'll be talking to us. He might talk to you in ways to get you to beat yourself up. Or he might talk to you in ways to get you to pump yourself up. He might talk to you in ways to get you to hate your brother. He may talk to you in ways to make you doubt the goodness of God. How often does the voice of the enemy come in? And we have to be careful for the voices that we listen to. And you know, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When the thought comes, bring it to the Lord. Is this yours or is this from somewhere else? And if it's not from the Lord, get to the Lord, listen to His voice, get in the Word, listen to what He says regarding the situation. But the voice of the enemy, the oppression, the heaviness that could come on you, it can be overwhelming. And David, he's losing it right now over this situation, like you and me lose it. I don't think God holds it against us when we lose it, provided that we're losing it in His presence. He says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Now, he puts a Selah here, which is, you know, it's that musical interlude that the scholars and the commentators say that is a time to think about what was just sung or what was just said. And I think that if that's the case with the word Selah, that David put it here because this is all he could think about at this time, and this is a great time for a musical interlude. I just want to go away. I just want to go away. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Verses 4 and 5 have everything to do with the enemy coming down on him, but I want us to think about verse 4 and 5 for a second. This stuff can just kind of come from anywhere. As I have dealt with many people, myself included, with severe anxiety or severe depression or things that have you don't even know where it came from. And I have ministered to many people that were so pained on the inside, in their heads. You know, you talk about all the little hamsters rolling around there. I always think about how I have so many hamsters and they're all disagreeing and they're all trying to run the wheel on their own speed and all that. But there's some people with thousands more hamsters than I have. And it breaks my heart for them. And I could see it in their face. I could hear it in their speech. That their heart is severely pained within them. They're filled with terror. And all they want to do is run away. I think that if we just did a show of hands here, regardless of being filled with the terror of death or trembling or whatever, how many of us are just, don't have to raise your hand, but you know, how many of us just wanted just to run away? You just want to go away. Get me the heck darn out of here. And you don't even know where you could possibly go, but you could even envision yourself in another situation away from all of this. And you really believe that it's possible. But the fact is, God has not given us those wings. Here's the bad news, you flipped out people. Here it is. God didn't give you any wings. You can't get away from the circumstances. Oh, you can try for a moment. But of course, we know that deep saying. I don't know who said it originally, but this is very deep. And that is, wherever you go, there you are. You will find that when you run and you get to this place that you dreamed of, like, you're still the same person with the same anxieties and the same depression and the same whatever it may be. I did it day by day. I like to find little secret spots all over town where I could get alone and just, and I think about it. Think about getting there. It's like, oh man, I'm going to go out there, that spot at the beach, and I'm just be in prayer, reading the word. And then I get there and I'm sitting in my car and I'm just as ADD as when I was thinking about being there. I'm still going, you know, and I'm looking out at the water going, I wonder if there's any whales out there. You know, like, oh boy, those waves are really big. I wonder if there's any fish over there. You know, it's like, well, this car's a mess. I got to do something about it. When before I saw myself as being in that car and having this great, wonderful communion with God Almighty. It's a really strange thing how we envision ourselves in a different situation. But God didn't give us those wings. And it's good because the Lord teaches us in our circumstances. By the way, some people try to make their own wings and they'll do it with drugs. They'll do it with alcohol. They'll do it with, I did it for years before I got saved, with gambling. Do it with relationships. You do it with some kind of a thing that just causes you to go away for a moment. You don't have to deal with the reality around you. Life's hard. And since we don't have those wings, people do try to make them. Now, let me tell you something. As he envisions himself in the wilderness where there is no trouble, understand that Proverbs 18, verse 1, written by David's son. It says, he who isolates himself rages against all sound judgment. And you and I, sometimes we just want to isolate, don't we? Nothing wrong with isolating for the moment in order to just get a breath, get alone with the Lord. Very important. But we got to get back in the battle every day. And so there's the Selah right there after that. Just remain in the wilderness. It's almost like a sigh. Oh, it'll be great. Good news is, so you go off into the wilderness, you isolate, this is it, and then we have Psalm 139 that David wrote, talking about, I could take the wings of the morning, or the wings of the dawn, as it reads in the NIV. If I just take off with these wings, even there you'll find me and bring me back. So if you have been so foolish as to try to fly away, the Lord will bring you back. The Lord sees you. But I think we should look at this and just remember something about the Word of God, something about David, something about God himself. He knows that you have wanted to run away. I just have never met anybody who's not wanted to run away sometime. But where are we going to go, as Peter said to Jesus? Jesus kind of got weird with them in John chapter 6, right? And some of the disciples left. And Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Are you going to go too? He goes, I don't know where to go. You have the words of eternal life. It's probably one of the smartest things Peter ever said. Where else are you going to go? Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Now talking about the enemy again. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. And you know, David, just assessing the hearts of the enemy. But asking God to divide their tongues and to mess up their counsel, to ruin their counsel. Now, hold that thought for a second as we go on with verse 12. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me. Now, he says it's not an enemy, but he says there in verse 3, the voice of the enemy. And I do believe he's talking about the same person and or people. But this person didn't start out as an enemy, but is now an enemy. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Betrayal. As I had said earlier, that this is something where you and I need to look at the enemy as Satan, as the demonic forces, and understand that we're under that attack continually. Well, there are some times, and this, remembering that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but the spiritual battle will play out through somebody in the church, through that flesh and blood. Somebody that you trusted. Somebody that was your bestest friend. And then out of nowhere, pow. And you don't even know how it happened. It hurts more when a friend throws a rock at your head than it does when an enemy does. Because it's shocking. You shared everything with this person. But I like how it even puts walk to the house of God in the throng. We can just put that in our world here. We went to church together. We went to church together in the same car every Sunday morning. And now you've turned against me. Now, of course, you all know that, you know, Bridget and I have experienced some of that. It's amazing. It just blows your mind that somebody who had been so close suddenly turns on you like, and they look at you like you're the devil or something. What David is talking about here, you can learn about in 2 Samuel chapter 15. David had a son by the name of Absalom who stole the kingdom away from his father. But in the processes of that stealing of the kingdom, David's counselor, one of his wisest counselors, his name was Ahithophel. He turned his back on David and went with Absalom and counseled Absalom against his father. So David had already experienced the betrayal of his very own son. But now, his closest counselor, his greatest friend. Interesting thing about Ahithophel. I like to see what these guys' names mean. Ahithophel's name means brother of folly. Okay, this makes me want to have a word with David for a second. Why would you have a brother of folly as your counselor? Well, it was just his unfortunate name. Well, a lot of these guys had unfortunate names just according to their personalities in the Bible. But I just think that David, well, he just lost one of his best friends. And it's killing him. Now, if you or I should ever behave as Ahithophel did, and that is just to be tight with somebody, and then suddenly you got a better deal somewhere else. Well, that makes you a brother of folly. That makes you an Ahithophel. Too many people, you know, you just don't even know it, because everything can be just going so well, and then suddenly they're gone. And really what happened is they got a better deal for themselves. And they didn't mind stabbing you in the back to get it. And David experienced that. And what else can we see here? But of course, a prophecy of Judas, who hung with Jesus and the disciples for 3 years. And then turned and stabbed Jesus in the back. We've all been hurt by somebody in the church. The next thing to do is bring it to the Lord. Now here, or you could pray for them. Look at verse 15. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among their dwellings and among them. Okay, this is where we got to go back to the spiritual picture. For sure, our enemy will go into the pit of hell. He loses, and you and I can talk to the Lord, say, you know what? When are you going to just fire that guy? But as far as people are concerned, this is where in the church we must do things differently than verse 15. As far as the flesh and blood in the church, God has called us to, in a spirit of gentleness, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, in a spirit of gentleness, lest you be tempted. Let them know the problem. Let's talk about love your enemies. Somebody who was your friend and then suddenly turns and stabs you in the back, the Lord calls us to love him or love her. Now, as for me, I will call upon the Lord and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry and he shall hear my voice. Amen. So this is what I'm going to do, David says. I'm going to cry out to the Lord, and I know that God will save me. He's going to save me from this situation, from my son and now his friend Ahithophel. And I'm going to pray when I get up. I'm going to pray in the middle of the day, and I'm going to pray when I go to bed. And God's going to hear me. Three times the Jews would pray. This was something, you know, David just saying, hey, I'm gonna be praying. But the Jews would pray three times a day, as we know from Daniel chapter 6, as Daniel would at the times of prayer look out the window and pray to the Lord. But let me just say this about that. Let's praise God for anything in our lives that causes us to pray. That bugs me so much that my times of most sincere, gut-wrenching prayer and intimacy with the Lord happen when things are falling apart all around me, in relationships or just in my own head or whatever. And there I am in the midst of this horrible thing, and I'm on my face before God. As I'm there with the Lord, I'll just tell you the stuff I do with the Lord personally. I sheepishly say, hi, how you doing? Thank you for driving me here. Because when things are going well, I seem to drive other places. Gang, trials are a wonderful thing. Because your relationship with the Lord is what is most important. That you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the most important. There's nothing more important in this world. And when things fall apart and when you actually feel like you're going to lose everything, that's when you know that there's nothing more important than the Lord. It was Corrie ten Boom who said, that you don't know that Jesus is all you need until he's all you have. And so, you know, what do? We're always begging God to get us out from under that pressure. And certainly we'd be crazy not to ask him to get us out from under that pressure. But do you see what's happened in the midst of that pressure? You've gotten closer to the Lord. I hated more than anything when my little girls would be hurt. And I still hate it. You know, they don't get hurt like, you know, scratching up their arms and stuff, unless they're being silly with a cat. But now they don't hurt themselves like falling down and scraping themselves anymore. But they get hurt like emotionally now, stuff going on, and something going on in their lives, and things like this where maybe a person has caused them to just feel lousy or whatever. And you know what? I hate that. I hurt so bad for them. There's something that I love about it. Because they stop everything just to talk with me. And to hang with me when they were little girls. If they get hurt, they would come over and just snuggle with me. don't do that when they're happy. And we hardly do that with the Lord when we're happy. Oh, not saying we're not having right relationship with the Lord when we're happy. And the Lord knows it, and the Lord loves it when we're happy. But I sure love holding my little girls. And I know the Lord just loves holding his little kids. Intimacy is what he desires with us and what we need most from him. And darn it, if it's not going to have to happen through somebody in the church making us hurt. Man. And so whatever it is that causes you to pray, thank the Lord for that. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. Now David remembers, what a great thing for you and I to do in the midst of our trouble. Remember what he had done before. God had the Israelites put up, you know, remembrance stones there at the Jordan River. You read in Joshua and also in 1 Samuel that famous stone called Ebenezer means stone of help. And that is that every time God would do something amazing, they'd put up a stone. So every time they'd walk by it, they would see that stone and remember that God is good. You and I need those stones in our lives. That when you and I are getting hammered, you look back and remember another time you got hammered and how the Lord got you through. David is remembering, hey, God is still God. Oh, as I just love from 2 Timothy chapter 2, that when we're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Even when you and I just can't even hang on anymore, we're even wondering about this relationship with the Lord, God will still be God. Oh, how important it is that you and I continually remember who we're dealing with here. God Almighty, who did not spare his only son. I think he'll cover you on this one too. God will hear and afflict them. Now he goes back to the present again. Even he who abides from of old, back to God has been around for a long time. He is the same, but also notice, is it Selah? Think about that. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. These people don't change, but God doesn't change. God's going to hear it, and he's going to deal with it. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. By the way, the he here is not God. Now he's back to the enemies. He's back to Ahithophel. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. This is where Ahithophel, he was known for his words, as he was a guy who gave counsel. He gave sweet counsel. He gave right counsel. But now let's go to David's very own son, Absalom. Talk about smooth, buttery words. Look at the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 15 when Absalom decided, you know what, I'm going to take this kingdom away from my father. And people would come for counsel. They would be approaching their meaning to approach the king, and Absalom would intercept him and say, hey, you know what? What's your problem? You know, I don't think he's got time for you now. That's funny, you know, being the king and all. He gets a little bit too uppity for himself and everything. No, but he's a good guy. We all love King David. But I can help you. just smooth as anything. And he'd say, oh man, if I were king, people would be heard. And there they would just, and he stole the kingdom with his smooth words. Smoother than buttering people up. And so it was even with Judas as he betrayed the Lord with a kiss. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Here David's talking to himself. Sometimes you need to talk sense to yourself, don't you? As Peter says, casting all our cares on him, for he cares for you. All your burdens. Take his yoke upon you. Learn from him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That was something that was so hard for me to understand as a child, as my mother tried to explain it to me. I still don't understand what she was trying to explain to me. But you know what? In Catholic Church, you know, you kneel down, you stand up, and you sit down, and you kneel, and you go through all of the choreography. And I mean, kneeling, you know, I'm 6 years old, man. And I can't kneel for too long. You know, I want to go do something. And then my back starts hurting. You know, a six-year-old with back pain. And I just tell my mom, Mom, my back hurts. Do I have to kneel here? Yes, you have to kneel. My back hurts. And she say, offer it to the Lord. Offer it, no, she said, offer it to God. That's what she'd say. What? Give him the pain. What? Two things there. How do you get... I'm going to give him the pain. You can't do that. You're feeling the pain. How do you give that to him? And secondly, that's not fair. For him to have this pain when he's not kneeling here and he's not... And I think that what my mom was trying to communicate to me is this very thing, that we hold on to these burdens, so many of them, with a death grip. And you know, if you can't do anything about it, just let go. The Lord will carry that. Now you talk about physical burdens. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Those of you who have been in severe pain. But I've heard some of your stories, how the Lord got you through it. But then there are the burdens of our minds. I'm telling you, give it to the Lord. That is to say, Lord, I can't do this, and I'm tired of carrying this around. And he cares enough for you to remove the burden from your heart and from your mind, but it took David 21 verses to get to this point where he's talking to himself to say, give this heaviness to God. Because I am ill-equipped to carry it any longer. He'll never permit his people to be moved, the righteous. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. True, Absalom died in battle as a young man. It was the case for those who were coming against David at the time. But of course, then we have those psalms that were, you know, the psalmist is saying, why are the evil getting away with murder? But in the end, they don't get away with anything. And so, here are the problems, but here is the final solution, but I will trust in you. And I think the lesson for me, lesson for us, is you have trouble with somebody in the church, you have other kind of trouble, you have some trials that's causing you to pray. Praise God for that. But, you know, go ahead and have it out with the Lord. Have it out with the Lord regarding maybe that person that is just on you and say, you know, God, you see it, and, you know, and let it all out. But then get your focus on the Lord. But I will trust in you. Stop trying to, I don't know how to say this, I'm going to get in trouble. Leave it alone. Leave it alone and do the right thing. Somebody's throwing rocks at you? The Lord knows what that's like. Leave it alone and do the right thing. Go ahead and pray to the Lord. But I want you to know that David did nothing to hurt Absalom. In fact, naturally, he was tore up when he heard that Absalom had died. He did nothing to come against Ahithophel. He didn't give Ahithophel what Ahithophel deserved. He put Ahithophel in God's hands. Even as David was retreating and leaving Jerusalem, giving up the kingdom to his rotten son, Shimei, a relative of King Saul, was hurling insults and rocks at David. And one of David's friends said, let's get him. And David said, no. The Lord will repay me for this. I'm going to be all right. We don't need to go get him. Yes, let's bring all of our problems to the Lord. But let the Lord deal with that problem as you and I just continue to walk with the Lord and trust him. Remember what we talked about faith or a couple Sundays ago. Do you really trust God? Trusting God is not going to just result in being at peace in a difficult situation. Because that's what we're looking for, right? I'm going to trust you. If I trust you, then I'll be at peace. It's not just that. But if you really trust God, you'll do what he says. If you really trust God, you will do what he says. You will walk in obedience. So in all our trouble, thank him, praise him for getting you on your knees before him. And walk in obedience. Do the right thing. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for all of the pain. Thank you for all of the confusion in our lives at times. We don't know what's going on. But we praise you and we thank you that you know what's going on and you have a plan. And in the end, you win and we are with you. Lord, many of us have been blindsided by people maybe in the church who were just, were supposed to be our brothers and sisters. Lord, we want to learn from this. We want to draw closer to you because of this. We want to thank you for this. And we ask you for those who have hurt us, that you will bless them. You will speak to their hearts your love. And Lord, may we never turn on a brother or sister because we found a better deal. But may we be faithful as you are faithful to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.